If you picked up notes, you will see at the top, the third line down, the first line is just says notes, the second line is the date, the third line is a word in Greek and a word in Hebrew. And so if you start at the little slash in between the two words, you can read right to left the Hebrew and left to right the Greek. And they both say basically the same thing. Today is Pentecost, in according to the Julian calendar. Julian? I think it's Julian calendar. Trent is shaking his head. And so the knowledgeable people, which is most of you guys, according to the Hebrew calendar, Shavuot, which is what we would refer to as Pentecost, it's the Feast of Weeks, was last Sunday. But according to the Julian calendar, it's this Sunday, because they still use the lunar calendar instead of the solar calendar, so it's different. But anyway, today is, for us, Pentecost, and I want to talk a little bit today about what happened in Pentecost, how it was foreshadowed in the Old Testament, and it's the birthday of the church. It is when the Holy Spirit came down and infilled people, indwelt people. No longer would the Holy Spirit just come on people for a time. At this point in history, the Holy Spirit took up residence in the lives of believers. And it's the hope that we have, our hope lies in Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so I want to talk a little bit about that and how God foreshadowed it in the Old Testament and showed us what would happen, what would come, and that he would take up residence in us. So let's look at Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered, because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, "Why are not all of these who are speaking? Let me reread that, because I didn't put the emphasis in the right place. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Why are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that each hear them in their own language, to which we were born?" And I'm not even going to read the next part, because it has a whole lot of Greek and Roman names of places that I don't pronounce real well. But anyway, let me set up the scene for you. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he said, "Stay in the city." Now, they were in Jerusalem. He said to the 11 at that point, "Stay in the city until something remarkable happens." And so the 11 are here in the upper room, and they're meeting together, and they're all in one accord, all together. And all of a sudden, there's a sound of a mighty rushing wind. I've never been around a tornado, but I'm told that when a tornado comes, it sounds like a freight train. I don't have any personal experience, and hopefully none of you have had to go through that. But I kind of imagine it was that same kind of sound, that as the disciples were together in one place, there was a sound of a mighty rushing wind. Not just a rushing wind, a mighty rushing wind. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves as they rested on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. Now, when we get to this word tongues, I think that probably we're using an archaic word that would be better rendered in other languages. If you just want to kind of scratch that out and put languages there, the Greek word means languages, but since we, and I've talked about this before, we have a tendency to go back to the old translations, mainly the King James, and we just carry those things on. And so in our modern translations, it still says tongues. But if you read the context of what's going on here, it's other known languages. They were together, and all of a sudden they were able to speak in all the languages of the people gathered around. Let me set the scene a little bit better. They were here at the festival of Shavuot, which is the festival of weeks. In the Jewish calendar, there's seven main feasts, and three of them, every man who was near enough to Jerusalem was required to go to Jerusalem for three of the feasts. Those feasts were Pentecost, Shavuot, not Pentecost, Pentecost is Shavuot. Those feasts were Passover, Shavuot, and the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot. And so during that time, at the time of Jesus, the city of Jerusalem swelled with people coming in there. And some estimated there were more than 1 million people that would gather in Jerusalem between the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the pilgrims coming in to celebrate the holidays, celebrate the feast. And here the disciples are in the upper room worshiping God, and the sound of a mighty wind comes. And it's not just in the room that it's heard. It's heard throughout that area. And there were people from all over the place. And hence the list of Greek and Roman towns that I don't want to name, or areas that I don't want to mispronounce. But it's Jews that were dispersed and hadn't returned to Jerusalem, and they were from all over, and they spoke many different languages. And the areas that they're from that it's listed are the different languages that they would have spoke. And each one of them heard in their own language what was being said. And they didn't understand it. And there was that phrase that I reread because I didn't emphasize the right words. And I'd like to kind of read it again. Because this is what the people were saying that were there. They said, Why are not all of these who are speaking, why are not all of these that are speaking Galileans? All right. Now, if you are in Jerusalem at that time and you want to make fun of somebody for not being all that intelligent or all that well-learned or all that classy, you would say, that person, you can tell they're from Arkansas. I mean, no. There are a lot of very, very intelligent people in Arkansas. I'm just kidding. But it's that kind of same thing. Or, boy, that's a hillbilly from Kentucky. It's that same kind of concept. And if you're from Kentucky or Arkansas, I apologize. But our society, especially, what can I say? I'm a Yankee, and I'm from the North, and the Northern people, especially people in New York, make fun of people that aren't like them, and they don't see the qualities of those people. That same thing was happening here in Jerusalem. If you wanted to give a slight to somebody, if you wanted to kind of mock somebody as being backwater, hillbilly, you would say, aren't they a Galilean? So when we're reading this, the people around were saying, what are these guys that have no education, that have no culture? What are they doing being able to speak in all these different languages? They were amazed. And I don't really get how they came to this conclusion, but they said, well, have they been drinking? Because you're less likely to be able to speak in other languages if you're drunk than if you're not, if you're sober. But that was the conclusion they came to. And there in the last line of the scripture that I wrote down, they said, they are full of sweet wine. Now, the next thing that happens is Peter stands up and says, no, it's only 6 o'clock in the morning, or 9 o'clock in the morning, the third hour, so it would be 9 o'clock in the morning. It's only the third hour. These guys wouldn't be drinking. This isn't what's happening. And then he goes to teach of Jesus. And he goes to teach of Jesus, who is God's Son, who came to be the sacrifice for the sins of mankind. To be the sacrifice that if you placed your faith in him, you would be born again. Your sins would be forgiven, and you would be redeemed. And it's what the Jewish nation had longed for centuries, for millennia. And here, they see this miraculous thing happening. And in a few minutes, I'm going to tell you the rest of the story. But before I do, I want to step back in time from the time of Jesus, Acts chapter 2, to Genesis. And look at Genesis 11, because something happened in Genesis 11, which is the reverse of what happened in Acts chapter 2. In Genesis 11, 1 through 9, we read, Now the whole earth used the same language and the same words. It came about as they journeyed east that they found the plain of the land of Shinar and settled there. They said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they used the bricks for stone, and they used tar for mortar. They said, come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose tops will reach to the heaven. Let us make for ourselves a name, otherwise we will be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. The Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they have all the same language. And this is what they began to do. And now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down there and confuse their languages, so that they do not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from all over the face of the whole earth. And they stopped building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the languages of the whole earth. And from there, the Lord scattered them abroad over the whole earth. Now, here we see the result of sinful man ending up in the scattering of the nations, ending up in the confusion of the tongue. So they went from all speaking one language to all the nations of the earth having their own language, and they scattered to create all the nations of the earth. As we look back on Acts chapter 2, we see God reversing the penalty of the sin. We see a little glimpse of God reversing the penalty of sin, and it's that which we will see in its fullness when Jesus comes again and all the languages will be brought into one, so that we can all understand again, so that we can all hear and we can all have a knowledge of God. That which was scattered, and at Pentecost, it came back together. God showed us just a little bit of a glimpse of what would come, so that we would be able to have a knowledge of God. And that's just one glimpse of the foreshadowing that God did of what would happen at the birth of the church, that what would happen that when Christ died and rose again, the penalty of sin from the original sin, the penalty of the curse from the fall, was reversed. Then later, the penalty of the curse from the nations wanting to make themselves a name. And when it says they want to make themselves a name, remember in Hebrew culture, name meant more than just Bob Minnick. It meant the character. They wanted to make a character for themselves. They wanted to make a reputation for themselves. In other words, they wanted to be their own God. They wanted to be their own people aside from God. They didn't want to know any longer follow the God of all creation. They wanted to make themselves important. And so God scattered the language. At Pentecost, those who placed their faith in God were able to speak in the language of all people, so that when it was heard, everybody understood in their own language. So we have the reverse of the penalty of the fall at the death of Christ. In the resurrection, when you place your faith in Him, it's reversed. No longer does death rule, but life everlasting. And then at Pentecost, we have the reverse of the penalty of the sin of trying to make themselves again, trying to make themselves as a God for themselves. And these languages were dispersed, but they were brought together. Just a glimpse of that at Pentecost and through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let's move on now to another glimpse of what happened at Pentecost. Now, one of the remarkable things that happened at Pentecost is that when the Spirit descended on that room, there were flames as tongues of fire that rested on each of them. And I want to propose before you that there's another event in which God, in the form of flame, came down and dwelt amongst men. If we remember back to the Exodus, And I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. Let me step back for just a second and say that in Jewish culture, the holiday of Shavuot, or the Feast of Weeks, is 50 days after Pentecost. I keep saying Pentecost. After Passover. 50 days after Passover. And they consider that the event that happened that we celebrate, in it's not necessarily a scriptural thing. It doesn't say in the Bible that you shall celebrate Shavuot because this happened. But as we look at it, and I'll get into this more in a little bit, in Jewish culture, they believe that the Torah was given at Shavuot, at the 50th day after Passover. We'll get into that in a little bit. But they look at this holiday as the day of giving the Torah to mankind. So what happened when God came down and gave the Torah to mankind? First of all, he said, I want to make a nation of priests amongst the children of Israel. And what happened when he did that? They heard a loud trumpeting. They saw God's presence come in the form of fire that burned the top of the mountain. And they got scared. Because God wanted to dwell with them. God wanted to interact with them. And God wanted them to be priests before all nations. God wanted them to be the messenger that would make the knowledge of God available to all nations. But they got scared. They didn't trust in his goodness. And they said, no, 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 not us. Moses, you go. Moses, you go and approach God. Because we know if we do, we'll die. They didn't trust in his goodness. And therefore, only Moses went. Therefore, they never really fulfilled the desire of God to make Israel a nation of priests. To make Israel that which would carry the knowledge of God to all nations. Because most of the nations had forgotten who God was. As they were dispersed and as they went out, they forgot who God was. And God had desired Israel to be that representative of him to all nations, the nation of priests. So let's look at the event that actually happened as God came down and see how it ties in with Shavuot, which is Hebrew for Pentecost. I'm going to skip the next set of scriptures that I have written there, Exodus 12, 1 through 3, and I'm going to come back to that in just a few minutes. But then I want to move to Exodus 19, 1 through 6. In the third month, after the sons of Israel had gone out from the land of Egypt, on that very day, they came to the wilderness of Sinai. When they set out from Rephidim, they came to the wilderness of Sinai, camped in the wilderness, and there Israel camped in front of the mountain. Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and to the sons of Israel, You yourself have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my commandments, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel. Now, right before Moses had gone up to the mountain, God came down in fire, and we see that the top of the mountain was burned. And in Jewish tradition, it said that God came down in fire, and that fire divided into 40 different tongues of fire and rested on the elders of the children of Israel. And each of the nations that were represented by the children of Israel, each of the people, areas that they had come from in their slavery to Egypt, they all heard God speak in their own language. And while that's not scriptural, that is passed down through Jewish tradition. Did it happen that way? We don't know, because it's Jewish tradition and not scripture. But they sure seem to believe it. And there's a book called the Book of Jubilees. And it was written about 200 years before the time of Christ. And it's believed that the Book of Jubilees was written by a rabbi about 200 years before Christ. And in it, the covenant in the Torah, which came at Mount Sinai, was brought in the form of the angel of the Lord coming in fire. And in that book, they name the angel, the messenger of the Lord that delivered the Torah to Moses, and they call him Yeshua. And Yeshua is the Hebrew name for Jesus, and they don't connect the two together, because Yeshua in Hebrew means salvation. So they were looking at the covenant of God that was made at Sinai as their means of salvation. They were mistaken that God is our salvation and not the covenant that he made, because they broke the covenant that was given to us at Sinai. They broke the covenant, the law that was given at Sinai, and they were never able to uphold it. And we learn in the New Testament that they were never able to uphold it because it wasn't meant to be the means by which they attained salvation. It was to show them how sinful they were. Because we read in Romans that the law was brought about to show us how bad we were, to show us that we were sinners. And it came through, the covenant came to show us our salvation. And so as we look at Pentecost, we see a foreshadowing of Pentecost in Sinai. We see fire coming down. We also see it as the children of Israel left Egypt. Because as the children of Israel left Egypt, God led them by day in a pillar of cloud, and by night in a pillar of fire. And we read this in Exodus as well. And when I find the right scripture, I'll read it to you. Exodus 13:21, the Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud to lead them on their way, in a pillar of fire by night to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. So we see when God's presence is shown to the children of Israel, it's shown in a pillar of fire. When the children of Israel, with Moses, built the tabernacle, once the tabernacle was built, God would come down and dwell in the tabernacle. And the sign that God was dwelling in the tabernacle was there was a pillar of fire above the tabernacle. And we see over and over again in the Old Testament that when God dwelt somewhere, there was a pillar of fire. God's presence was made known by the pillar of fire. And in the New Testament now, at Pentecost, God's presence came down. But it didn't come down to dwell in the tabernacle. It didn't come down to dwell in his holy hill at Sinai, his holy mountain at Sinai. It didn't come down to dwell in the temple. It came down and dwelt in man. It came down to dwelt in those who placed their faith in Christ to be their redemption. In Christ to be their forgiveness of sins. In Christ, that the one who would wash all their sins away. No longer did they have to look to the temple, to the someone to go between them and God, a priest to go between them and God. But now, God dwelt in the lives of men. The thing that we see in Passover, the thing that we see in Pentecost, is that God began to dwell in the individual lives of man through the Holy Spirit. Jesus said while he was on earth, "When I go, I will send the Comforter." And on Pentecost, he sent the Comforter. And now, each of us, when we place our faith in God, Pentecost happens to us at that moment. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us. But he doesn't dwell in us like he did in the Old Testament, when the Holy Spirit would come upon somebody that God wanted to use, and it was for a time. In fact, if we read in Psalms, after David committed the sin with Bathsheba, he writes a psalm of lament. And in that, he says, "Wash me and make me clean. Do not take your Holy Spirit away from me." Because at that point, and he saw it, David saw it in the life of King Saul before him. Because the Holy Spirit came upon King Saul for the time where he was king, but when he became unfaithful to God, the Holy Spirit went away. And David, when he sinned with Bathsheba, he said, "Don't take your Holy Spirit away from me." But at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was given, it was the seal that sealed us till the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit now dwells in us. And Paul said it, as I said before, as I was speaking, it is the hope of glory. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's Christ in us, God in us, in the form of the Holy Spirit that seals us until the day of redemption. It's the hope of glory. No longer do we have to worry about the Holy Spirit being taken away, because at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, in the form of tongues of fire, showing us that just as it was at Sinai, just as it was in the children in the desert, children of Israel in the desert being led by the pillar of fire, just as it was in the tabernacle where the fire came down and dwelt over the tabernacle, just as it was in the temple when the presence of God was seen in a fire, pillar of fire above the temple, now the presence of God dwells in us because we have placed our faith in the redemption that Christ brings by his blood. So today I say Chag Sameach, happy holiday. That's the Hebrew phrase for happy holiday. I'm not just showing off. But we celebrate God giving us the Spirit on this day. God allowing his Spirit to dwell in us and to create in us a new heart and to bring us closer and closer to him as he remakes us from the inside out. Because for so long, mankind tried to make ourselves new from the outside in. I can live my life and try to be good. I can make myself better. But it never worked. It never had lasting results. Because sin nature still dwelt in us. But when Christ died for us, when the blood was shed for us, and even before that, when man placed his faith in the coming Messiah, but now as we in the New Testament period place our faith in the risen Messiah, God indwells in us and changes us from the inside out, because it's not us, but Christ in us, the hope of glory. What an awesome day that we have today to remember that God gave us his comforter to dwell in us, to seal us until the day of redemption. When we get to see him face to face, and when all the languages, all the peoples of the world will no longer have differing tongues and languages, but all will know of God because they will be able to hear in their own language. And the Holy Spirit now lives in us as believers until the day of redemption. And with that, let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit, that you might change us from the inside out. You have taken the heart of stone and made it a heart of flesh. You are renewing us day by day. And we thank you for allowing your Spirit to dwell in us and to seal us until the day of redemption. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.